Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and that's where you can also subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week. And the only person in the world who might have a cooler website, cooler newsletter than mine, just by just a little bit, is our guest this half hour, Rich Galen. And Rich is a great American, ladies and gentlemen. He just got back from serving the world with 6 inches of good service over six months, I should say, of good service over in Iraq, and he's back home now, back in the motherland, and we're glad to have you back, Rich.
Well, it's nice to be back. This is the first time we've talked that I didn't have it stopped for a helicopter coming over my head. In a while.
Yeah, and how does it feel? You know, after doing the show so many times with body armor, how does it feel not to have that on?
Well, you know, the whole decompression thing, frankly, is interesting. I was home, you may remember, I was home for about 4 or 5 days in February, and I found just coming home and doing everything I did and racing back, it really wasn't the same thing. And I'm kind of surprised at how difficult, frankly, the transition is in terms of leaving all that and then coming back here and kind of I'm back in my office at 21st and Penn, you know, overlooking George Washington University in downtown Washington.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of pieces to it. One, because I'm old, like you. I mean, it's not.
Hey! Just because I had a birthday.
Hey, happy birthday! But you know, the time zone—it's 8-hour time difference. So that took a little to it. Mm-hmm. But I think more than that, it is the just the difference in the way you function day by day. I mean. You know, you're not around the same people you're around. You know, every time we hear a professional athlete retiring, somebody will tend to ask, you know, what are you going to miss the most? And they never say they're going to miss the game. They always say they're going to miss the locker room. And I think that's a big part of the fact that the people that I've been sharing this experience with for 6 or 8 months, they've been there for 8 months, I've been there for six, especially the military people who were there about when I got there.
And some of them are there now over a year.
Exactly. I mean, those people especially, but because a lot of the by the time I left, I think there were only two civilians that had been there longer than me. Everybody else had cycled back out in the communications area. So, but I think that's a big part of it, Jim. I think I really miss the camaraderie and the activity and the kind of the daily discipline of doing everything I did every day, putting on the body armor and whatever you had to do. I was walking around with a flashlight on my hip until yesterday when they made me take it off. I kept saying, well, it's an affectation, just let me have it. And they said, no, you're wearing it because you miss wearing your gun. I said, well, there is that.
Well, and then when the car backfired, you dove over the hedge. They
well,
said, you know Rich.
That's not so funny. I mean, I just heard something this morning. I heard a bang this morning. I don't leap in the air, but it does get my attention.
Got your attention. What you were talking about, Rich, is something that people who have been in the military know about. It's the attraction of esprit de corps. I mean, it's the camaraderie, as you say. And I remember as a commander of an airborne unit in my military career, I didn't, when I got out of the Army, I didn't miss the Army, but I missed being with those people.
Right, exactly.
I missed how we felt about each other.
Exactly.
I missed the way the mission that we worked toward together to accomplish. And it was an incredible. It's an incredible feeling that you know everybody doesn't get to have. And I really feel fortunate to have had that. And I know you've had military background, and now that you've had this experience, so you know what you probably recognized it when you got over there.
Yeah, I was a better soldier as a civilian than I ever was as a soldier.
Well, they let you carry a weapon this time, didn't they?
Yeah. Actually, I told my wife I wanted to buy a 9mm to have. She said, no, you can buy a kayak. I said, well, if I buy a kayak, can I mount like a little machine gun on the bow? She said, yeah, but you'll go backwards.
Well, I'm just so glad that when you came home, she hadn't moved away. That's the
thing. I was glad that I was glad the garage door opener still worked.
Right, that the phone, the key worked. I'm sure you were glad about that.
Actually, I don't have the key. My son took the key, so I don't even have one. If I don't get into the garage, I have to sit out on the curb and cry.
Well, now that we've got Rich decompressed and debriefed and got him sort of acclimated, he's found his way down to the Starbucks and everything.
Right.
When we come back after these messages, folks, I want to get Rich to talk to us a little bit about the differences in how things were in Iraq versus how he's seeing them being reported over here. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
On a Sunday afternoon. Get away too soon. I can't imagine any.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Bill Doerr, Tony Paradiso, Paula Lovell, and the lovely Melanie Sablehouse, the lovely and talented and highly energetic Melanie Sablehouse, who's Deputy Administrator of the SBA. Ladies and gentlemen, Melanie Sablehouse will be with us in the next day, in the next show. And when she joins us, you better buckle your seatbelts because she is a force. She's not just the Deputy Administrator of the SBA. She's a force of nature, force of life, and she's incredible. You'll like her a lot. You've heard her on the show before, and she's always a lot of fun. Looking forward to getting her back on the show. Have you met her yet, Rich?
Oh, I introduced her once at a.
Is she something or what?
She's fabulous. You bet. I mean, she just had those people standing and screaming on their chair. I mean,
she's a great
fabulous
lady. She's just so dramatic, and she's just a lot of fun to watch. She missed her calling, I think. I'm glad she became an entrepreneur instead of this, but she probably missed her calling. She should have been a stage actress on Broadway.
No, she has a huge presence when she's...
Yeah, no.
You know, but that's something we teach people, and I know you know about this, is that when you... If you're going to give a speech, or whatever you're going to do, you have to convince yourself that you own the lectern, that is yours, and nobody can take it away from you. And a lot of people sort of ease up to it, and they're sort of afraid of it. And the audience can tell whether you're comfortable back there or not.
Absolutely, Rich. When one of the times that I interviewed you while you were in Baghdad, when we visited a couple of months ago, I had been in Florida. And I was driving down the street, and this was at the point in time that we had some problems with al-Sadr in mm-hmm. Baghdad. Before he left Baghdad, we had some challenges in Fallujah. And I noticed on a bank of newspapers that the headline predominantly said, one Saturday morning, the headline said, "Chaos reigns in Iraq."
Yeah.
Now,
well,
I don't think chaos probably... There probably was some chaos in a couple of places, but I don't think it rained in Iraq.
No, that is true. It is. I mean, as we've talked about before, there are 27 million people that live in Iraq, and most of them don't live in Fallujah or Najaf. There are pockets of severe activity and severe unrest. But, you know, as an example, there was a report this morning that the Iraqis are now demanding that Sadr give or at least leave Najaf and get out of there. Because they're beginning to get the sense that they not only are responsible in the end for their own security, but are now beginning to take steps to accept that responsibility. And this is something they haven't been allowed to do for over 30 years, so it's not something mm-hmm. you kind of flip a switch and say,
that's
okay.
Right.
But
yeah,
Go ahead. I had a photo on the website. I was down in Riyadh, and I had to come back through the airport, and while I was coming back, the airport road was closed because it was just too dangerous at that point. I'm sorry, my BlackBerry's ringing. And so I literally hitchhiked a ride with an Iraqi in what it was essence a 1957 Opel, which is the safest kind of car. And I had a photo actually at the front windshield of driving through Baghdad at a normal pace under the radar. And it was just a paradox, because if you didn't know that there was this war raging,
right,
it looked like a regular city. People were selling stuff. The as we've discussed before, in Baghdad, the tradition is for shopkeepers to put all their stuff out on the street every day, like mm-hmm. it's a souk or a bazaar.
Right, like turning the Walmart inside out.
Yeah, exactly. So cars were driving, people were standing around chatting with each other. I mean, it was bizarre. And meanwhile, you know, I was huddled in the back seat, hoping nobody saw me. So
right.
So it is very difficult for the news media to figure out how to cover this. And I suspect, unfortunately, that they'll never get it straight. They'll never figure it out. And
yeah.
It's not their fault. If you're living in the Palestine hotel and somebody, you know, shoots at the side of the hotel with a rocket,
that's the news.
That's newsworthy.
Report,
I mean, yeah. you can't pretend that's not newsworthy.
Rich, before we go any further, I want to stop for a second. Folks, Rich Galen publishes a newsletter. And he did it while he was gone, once a week. But now he's back to his regular schedule. Are you going to keep doing it 3 days a week? I mean, 3 days a month?
Three days a week. Yeah.
I mean, that's right, 3 a week. And you're back on your regular schedule. And, folks, I want Rich to give us his website. I really encourage you. Even Rich is of the Republican persuasion. He readily admits that. But I want you to know that a lot of Democrats subscribe to his newsletter because they want to see what he's up to. And, Rich, I want you to give us your website right now.
Thanks. Yeah, it's www.mullings, M as in Mary, U-L-L-I-N-G-S, mullings.com.
Go to that website and subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll enjoy it. Rich is a great writer. Whether you agree with his politics or not, you'll get some fun there, and they're not long. It's a short newsletter. You'll benefit from it. I promise you. Even if you're a Democrat, I think you'll like it.
That's very kind. You know, it's interesting. Your readers would be interested. I think the conversation we had off the air is probably one they'd be interested in on the air. One of the problems that you have that I'm having, not a problem, but one of the challenges I'm facing is restarting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Mullings is my business, and when I left for Iraq, I had to, in essence, shut it down because I was a Defense Department employee. And you and I were chatting about where the issues surrounding kind of mm-hmm. just starting it back up again, not quite from scratch, but trying to get people, you know, back advertisers and what have you. The normal things that anybody running a small business has to deal with on a regular basis.
And think about not only you had to do that for 6 months, which you volunteered to do, but think about all the reservists
yeah.
who are over there who left their business or left their farms or their jobs, and because they volunteered to serve
yep.
The world. They're not just serving America. They're serving liberty around the world. And folks, let me tell you something. We should never, ever, ever minimize or not appreciate the sacrifice that those, not only those people over there are making, but their families are making. And Rich Galen is a good example of that. And Rich, we appreciate your effort. When we come back, we're going to talk. I want to ask Rich what he thinks about this prison situation. Are we making too big a deal out of it? It is a crime. It is a horrendous thing. But my goodness, you know, how long are we going to talk about this? Tintil, stay with us.
Oh, nothing is going right. Close.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about Rich Galen being back in country. Appreciate the service that he gave us, Richie. We're proud of what you did over there in Iraq, and thank you for giving us some time while you were over there. That really meant a lot to us to get a report from on the ground. You helped us you've introduced us in the meantime to a couple of other people who are going to continue to talk to over there. Of course, my old buddy Joe Pally that you got to know.
Yeah, great kid.
We're going to stay in touch with him too, and, mm-hmm. and some of the other folks. Rich, this thing that happened in the prison, and I always. Can never say the name of it. Tell us what the name of the prison was.
We pronounce it Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib, and it's the infamous prison now, folks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Rich, there's no question that what they did, what was pictures were the pictures that were taken, were horrific. They were inhuman. It was a horrible thing to do. Those people, if they're found guilty of doing this, whoever is found guilty should be punished to the maximum extent of humanity, not just the law. It's horrible, and there's no question that the damage that they've done, those few people, however many that there are, has done incalculable damage and undermined what hundreds of thousands of really good people did in Iraq. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible thing. But Rich, when are we going to get off of this? I mean, it happened. Let's report it. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I think what the issue is that the people who are opposed to the Bush policies or want to use this as a metaphor for everything they don't like. So they're pushing pretty hard to keep it alive. But, you know, Jim, back in January, right, when this was first reported by that Spec 4, when he first went into his superiors and said, I can't do this. I can't be in a unit that'll do this stuff. We did a release about the fact that we were investigating charges of brutality at Abu Ghraib, and nobody bid on it. Nobody bid on it. Then in March, we did another release saying that.
Wait a minute, Rich. This is in January, is when some of the media are saying that Mr. Rumsfeld knew about it and didn't tell anybody.
We did tell him. We did.
But isn't that what they're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then in March, we did another release saying that, in fact, the investigation was continuing and charges had been filed against, I think at that time, seven soldiers. And I have a photo that I had on the website. I'm going to run again tomorrow of General Kimmett, who was the military briefer, and Dan Senor doing their gaggle, their morning gaggle with reporters. And I was there, and I happened to take a photo. And the reason I used it was because on the day that this photo was taken, two rockets happened to land outside the convention center, so everybody dove for cover. But in the background of that photo, clearly visible, is the military lawyer that General Kimmett had brought along, so that when he announced the fact that these charges had been filed, reporters could ask the lawyer whatever they wanted to ask about, not about the specific cases, but about the what the issues were surrounding, you know, all the things that everybody's talking about now, and they didn't bite on it again. It wasn't until these photos came out that everybody said, what? How can all this happen?
Yeah.
And so, it wasn't that there was a cover-up. It wasn't anything of the sort. It was that even reporters in Baghdad saw this as, an isolated incident to the extent that it existed, and there were more important things to worry about. But once you get photo. I mean, this is why TV is TV. Once you get photos and you get them on TV, then it becomes a different deal. But, you know, as I wrote in the column yesterday, Jim, this is not a prison where they hold Boy Scouts who were jaywalking. These are people who are accused of engaging in terrorist acts. And as I said in the column, these are people who were trying to kill me and others like me. And if they succeeded, they were going to come over here and kill you.
But of course, none of that justifies, and I know you're not saying this,
I'm not justifying the way
they were treated.
But on the other hand, I don't want to hold these prisoners up as somehow heroic, because they're not.
Right. Rich,
so, I mean, it's
Rich,
not,
let's
know,
do
it's,
let's do a little bit of an analysis of where you think we are in Iraq. I got about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
How do you think we're doing over there right now?
I think overall we're doing quite well. The Iraqis themselves are beginning to take charge as they move toward the June 30th transition. And it's important to remember that will be about 14 months after we liberated Iraq, as opposed to Japan, where we didn't return sovereignty until September of 1951, which people forget.
6 years.
Yeah, so this is really MacArthur on steroids. But the Iraqis it's beginning to gather steam. They're beginning to get some forward momentum, and I suspect that within a year or 18 months, we're going to look back and say, "Boy, that was the right thing to do."
Yeah, I sure hope so, and I think you're right, Rich Galen. Thank you very much. Give us your website one more time.
Mullings.com.
MULLINGS.com. Be sure to subscribe to his letter, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll like it. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, my friend.
We're glad you're back, buddy.
Thank you, pal.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military around the world. God bless you. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.